You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 44. This is Don, and with me as always is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Not a whole lot. And as always, we never know what episode we're actually recording.
No, I need to start looking at that. I keep forgetting to save before I start a track. inside baseball. What?
I don't know why. I just can never remember where we're at.
No. Once you get past the 40s, it's like, eh, whatever. Here's another episode. We could date them. Hey, you're listening to the Pinball Podcast, recorded on November 30th, 2014.
I think it's starting to sound like public radio.
Radio? Yeah. Well, let's do one of those fundraisers they do, one of those phone things. I'll give out your cell phone number, you answer it, and they'll pledge a donation amount.
It's episode 44, by the way.
That's what I said.
I know, I'm just confirming.
NiftyLED.com, Jeff.
That's right.
NiftyLED.com. They've got free shipping, over $100, $5 flat rate shipping, under $100. Great selection, great customer service, great easy-to-navigate website. Nothing but great things to say about NiftyLED.com. And they support our show, so thank you for that. Thank you for keeping the lights
Pinball on, alive.
Right? Pinball alive, yes.
Yeah. I got my lifeblood. Yeah, I got my color-changing LEDs that I mentioned.
And oh, yeah. How did your bride turn out?
I took video of it, and it didn't, because it was a chaser board, they were just kind of random and all over the place and not in sync. And LEDs can work in the helmet, I'm convinced. Color changers, it's not the place for them. It just was sensory overload to have all these different colors going not in step with each other. I made video in case anybody is curious. I did a before and after. But yeah, and I don't mind because I'll use those color changers and other things, but not in the helmet.
Good to know.
Yeah, I was a little bummed out because I thought it could have been really cool.
It is a bummer. You're going to have to develop some sort of board to make that happen and work.
No? Yeah, that's something I definitely could find the motivation and time to do.
Yeah, that's something that's going to happen. What else, Jeff? Where's our notes here?
Fascinating.
While we're doing our former sponsors, current sponsors roundup, Mike and Callie has hooked us up with wizardamusement.com shooter rods. If you mention the podcast, you get a 10% discount when you're ordering. So check out wizardamusement.com for over 50 different game-specific ball shooter mods. Measelmods.com, MEZELMODS.com. Actually, somebody emailed them and said that they heard about them on our show. So there
we're
you go.
Sorry.
Advertising works.
We're sorry, measles.
We're sorry.
Wait, no, because the people that we sent are probably okay. Good.
Yeah, great customers.
Yeah.
No issues. And let's see. Yeah, we've got the Life Under Glass contest. We did actually get a lot of entries, so we'll be going over that a little bit later in the show. But you can see what we're competing for this month, because we've got another shirt from lifeunderglass.net. So stay tuned. Check them out while you're listening, and stay tuned for how to win a shirt.
Yeah.
So there you go. Jeff.
Don.
If you're still there, I can't hear you. There you are. What have you been doing in pinball, Jeff? Anything exciting?
No, not really.
Okay. So,
like I said, I did my experiment with the color changers, and
yeah,
didn't go quite failed as planned. At work, we got a new security system. We have to have your badge and scan in the front door to come in or whatever. And we were allowed to customize them, so I made mine look like my name on the high score of a pinball DMD, which was nifty. But other
spelled
than
that, out brownie in dots.
No, I actually took the lazy way out and just took a picture of my name on the high score and made it my badge. Oh. But I did that. Kind of playing a little bit. I haven't done anything on location just because with the holidays, had stuff going on here. But I've been playing my machines a little bit. But nothing really noteworthy or special. Nothing cool like launch parties or anything like that.
Yeah, nice segue.
No, I didn't get a segue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll change the subject then.
Maybe. Okay.
I actually played pinball today. I dusted off all my games. Wow. And
Is it like that scene in Tron when he walks into the arcade and flips the power on and they all still work?
Everywhere. Yeah. Caucasian Two-Step from Pinside was driving through town, so he stopped by and we played some pins for a little while.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was nice to be able to play. My wife took the kids out, and so they weren't running around just putting four-player games on everything. And I plugged in the, how did he say it? He talked to somebody that worked at Zachariah, and they say it different. It sounded like an S. Zachariah? Anyway, I forget. I should have recorded him saying it.
Yeah. We could use it as a drop.
That would have been nice.
Just overdub it every time we say it wrong.
Which is often. Anyway, so he played the circus, and we actually both have the same 1963 Beat the Clock, so he played mine too. And yeah, it was fun.
Sounds
nice
like
to have a pinhead over.
I was planning on having a pinball visitor as well this week. Had a buddy up from L.A., and he's never been over and seen the collection, and he was here all week, but he was visiting family, and it sounds like they had plenty of group activities planned. So we were trying to find some time. In the end, it just didn't work out, but it's fun. I love when you get visitors and you can play some pinball with them. It's quite a bit of fun.
Yeah. It's nice teaching newbies, but always nice to have pinheads come over and teach you a couple things. He taught me a lot today, so that was awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kevin. I did want to mention I got a pin gulp ish item for my Batman, which is at the brewery, and it's the pin gulp that folds up. Have you seen that?
Yeah. I like those ones a lot.
I don't like it
because they're always folded up when you want to set your drink down. Is that why?
No, because you fold down like the little tray, and then you fold up these two little arms that go around the cup. But the arms are hinged, and they're not very sturdy at all.
Oh, I've had issues with that, but I just like that the hinges adjust to fit your drink size.
Yeah, but any movement will knock the cup over. I mean, it's not really holding it at all. It just happens to be lightly pressed against either side.
I forget that you play like Rick Stetta. I forget about that sometimes.
Yeah. No, I did smash a glass at League Night by knocking it off that little thing. But basically, it's just they might as well not even put those brackets there. They don't do anything. It might as well just be a flat coaster. I don't know. The actual pin gulp is like a cup holder, so there's no, it's solid. And they're the exact same price.
Yeah, those ones are like a tank. They're pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, and you can put cool decals on them and whatnot. I don't know.
What kind of decals are you rocking? I want to hear what your definition of cool is. Is
it Weezer? I opened a drawer today and found a bunch of Britney Spears stickers from like 1999 that I got out of not a slot machine.
Pre-shaved head Britney.
Yeah, what are those things you put coins in? Eggs pop out of them. Anyway, got it out of one of those at the grocery store. Yeah, so I'd rock some Britney on there.
That's
cool. She was 19, looking pretty decent. So,
sure.
That's what I would put on all my $7,000 pins.
That's just the finishing touch they needed.
Right. They're new in package if anyone's interested before I put them on eBay. No?
Ooh,
no
one? That's a pretty nice offering to give them the inside track shot at that. That's good.
Well, I'm here for the listeners. And yes, we did have a Walking Dead launch party. Stern sponsored and everything. They sent us some gifts, and Measle Mods brought their Walking Dead and kind of put the whole thing together. They had gift cards, shirts, translates, key fobs, flyers, all kinds of stuff. So it was pretty cool. The brewery, I don't know. Somewhere along the line, the promotion wasn't quite what it could have been, but we still had, I don't know, between 12 and 20 people there. So not a ton, but met some new people.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. It was mostly people from the pinball league, but
yeah.
There were a few people who saw flyers, you know, in the restaurant for it or saw on Facebook getting shared. So,
well, cool. You know how many people were at the launch party here in Salt Lake City?
Was there one?
No.
And that's
our distributor that used to get all the Stern games decided to stop doing new pins because there's a lot more margin in just doing consignment sales. Oh. So they would rather have their showroom filled with other people's pins that they're helping sell. But the bummer about that is no chance at anything like a launch party.
So. Yeah, that sucks. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What
it's
can
okay.
You do?
I don't know, but before I forget about it, I'm sure like most our listeners, even those who aren't in the current market for a pinball machine, they always check their local classifieds, right? And there's a funny one here locally. It's for a high hand Gottlieb Wedgehead EM. And the ad title is Working Ancient Pinball Machine. So it's ancient.
Nice.
And he says, I have a pinball machine for sale. Want it gone, but only for a right price. Make offer if you want. It's like, all right.
Yeah, so how to win friends and influence people.
I just
what,
love
did
it.
They say what game it is or just...
What's that?
Did I miss what game it was?
Oh, it's a high hand.
Okay.
You know, not a bad game at all. Apparently it's ancient, though.
Yes.
It's an ancient pinball. The picture is sideways. And you can't tell that well out of condition. But it just was funny. I've never seen anyone say ancient. I've seen antique. I've seen retro. I've seen classic. But I've never seen ancient.
Hmm.
So I'm assuming this guy is a time traveler, and he knows what he knows that this particular machine actually existed.
He wrote the post in the year 2130 or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. So I thought an antique was classified as being over 35 years old, but I just Googled it. They're saying 100 years old now.
They're just moving that bar, are they?
Yeah. For 50 years, it could be considered vintage.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Not ancient, but vintage.
Yeah, what's the cutoff for ancient?
Yeah, I don't know. 1,000 years old?
It seems like at least, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there's many, many, many articles saying 100 years for antique. Oh, man, this is good. We're 10 minutes in and I'm already yawning. It's going to be a good show, folks. Snuggle up.
Buckle up.
Yes. Snuggle up, buckle up. All right. Show feedback. Are we ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We got a lot. So this one, he posted it on our blog, and I don't know how old this was. So I'm sorry to David Johnson, if you still listen to our show. But a couple months ago, we said something about John Trudeau talking about pro machines not making any money. What he thinks Trudeau was getting at is that these machines, the pro machines, are paying for the labor, the machinery, the factory, the design, and management teams. Without making them, they couldn't afford to make LEs, which I'm sure do turn a profit, but also help pay for the rest of the costs associated with manufacturing. Just because they aren't a profit maker doesn't mean they're not an important part. Yeah, so what he's saying is the pros keep the lights on, the LEs are the bread and butter. Or no, wait, that's the same thing. They're the icing.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to
stick with food analogies.
In the whole
thing. So. That's the profit. So, yeah. So, good call. I have no idea. But, yeah, David, good call. Thank you for writing. And sorry we took us so long to get back to you on that. A lot of times, Nate Shivers, who is a salesman, will actually talk about that kind of thing on Coast to Coast. More like the business side of things.
The economics. Yeah.
Yes. Of pinball. So, there you go. We got a message from Lee. I'm not going to screw up his last name. Lee B. Couple show ideas. I recently installed the AC/DC Horns Topper mod from Measle Mods. Pretty cool and easy to install. They flash when the pop bumpers go off. So, have you seen those, Jeff? You have an AC/DC?
I have seen them. I haven't seen them in person. But,
they look pretty sharp.
That's kind of one of those like fun silly-ish type mods. Not silly as in, like, that makes your machine look stupid, but as in...
Gingerbread.
Like, in... Kind of. But kind of in the spirit of AC/DC, which they do silly things in their live show, and that just seems like a good match.
Yeah. They look pretty cool. They're, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches tall. They're not super pricey. I always bust Tim's balls because he connects everything to the pop bumpers. And sure enough, it works here too. He also said, nice find on my Metallica airball problem. Adjusting the magnet was straightforward, but a real pain in the ass. Loosen the giant nut and turn the giant screw. I literally had to use a Bally Williams lockdown bar to turn it because it has a Z shape to the end and enough leverage to turn. It was friggin' hard, but I fixed the issue. Thanks.
Yeah, so I know what he's referring to there.
Yeah.
You have a Metallica. Have you ever had to adjust the magnet core in front of Sparky?
Yeah, I adjusted both of them because I put Cliffies on them. So I raised the magnet up to the lip of the Cliffy.
Okay.
To keep them from getting dented up.
Yeah, if they... Any of those magnet cores, if they're a little bit too high, you'll get air balls and Mr. Balls going wrong directions, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. But.
Yeah, it's basically just a big wide post that goes up and down. But I will say, I actually think the Stern ones are cake to do. I've done the ones on X-Men as well, and I thought, I have a huge, you know, straight blade screwdriver and a crescent wrench. I thought they were really easy, but on Wizard of Oz... I literally could not get them to move at all. With wrenches and everything, they just would not move. I know you can heat them up, but I wasn't about to go that route.
Yeah, I've heard about that as well. I guess it depends on who was the person that tightened it down right before it went into the machine. Was it, you know, Little Johnny, or was it Big Tom? Like, who put the final turn on that?
But I guess I got Little Johnny.
No, he's the stronger one.
Oh, Little Johnny's strong. So he didn't with the Wizard of Oz then.
No, that would have been Big Tom. He's kind of overweight and but weak.
It's like when they call fat guys slim.
Yeah.
That kind of thing? Okay.
That's why I'm Slim Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I'm glad we were able to fix that issue for you. We got another email from Miguel. He said, if you need a suggestion for a good virtual pin, we don't, so I'm just going to skip that. He says, check out Crystal Caliburn 2. It is iOS only. It's from a small Japanese team named Little Wing. They've been making virtual pins since 1990. He said he played the original Crystal Caliburn on my pre-OS X Macintosh. So I did actually download this yesterday. There was a Black Friday sale on, I don't know, iTunes Bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
That I took advantage of. It was $4. I think it was like $4.26 after tax, and then I did not play it, so I
but it's there for the
suggestion. Well, I'll play it tomorrow. I mean, I'll play it for the next show, but yeah, actually other people have recommended that table to me too. I just, when I saw it was $3.99, I was like, whoa, what the heck. But why not? We only live once.
It's a strange yen to dollar exchange pricing there.
Right. Yes.
It's okay, because I know we're going to talk about the new Pinball Hotness digital game that came out, and I haven't played it yet.
Oops. My gosh.
I have a good reason. Well, there's no good reason, but I have a reason, so we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Jeff's medical report is coming up soon, so stay tuned, Ryan.
My wrist still hurts.
Your anus still hurts?
My wrist.
Oh, okay. Or is it related to the anus pain, or?
The wrist bone's connected to the forearm bone?
Forearm bone, yeah.
So the tibia. They're not.
His next question from Miguel or comment, he said, I've been going through your old episodes, and I caught the one where you rag on the streamer Lethal Frag. I don't remember ragging on him, but I do remember us talking about him. I don't know, maybe we were ragging on him.
You probably ragged.
Probably me, yeah, I'm kind of a jerk. I wanted to write in because I watch his stream. He streams video games for a living, but his hobby is pinball. He had a 1977 big deal in his house since he was a kid and decided to become a pinball owner. His Kickstarter was to see if there's any interest in people watching him fix and play machines. We had talked about his Kickstarter was, I want to say it was like over 10 grand or something.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, just to basically play pinball on Twitch. Anyway, so before the Kickstarter had begun, he had already owned a Star Trek Next Generation. The Kickstarter was so successful that the extra money he had, he bought an Addams Family, like he said he was going to in the Kickstarter. He streams pinball most Sundays, and I have found watching him take apart this Star Trek Next Generation very compelling. He has never done any pinball maintenance before, and Miguel has been learning right along with him. And he just bought a Stern Star Trek that he's been playing on the stream as well.
Nice.
Yeah. He said he also plays video games. He has a good demeanor. He's always respectful. Doesn't use profanity. So he's got a leg up on us there. His chat is well moderated thanks to his wife.
Oh, yeah. So, see, like, I don't think I could rope my wife into that. I want to protect her from the internet. And yeah. It's users. And two, it wouldn't take very long before she just tired of that.
So, who's this Tub Girl 46? Why does she keep sending us private messages?
You're receiving an image from...
yeah. From no, honey. All right.
Goats?
Goatsy man? Mr. Hands? What is this? He says that he enjoys the Papa streams, but it's nice to have video coming from someone who's new to the hobby as well. So, yeah, good call, Miguel. I will check out Lethal Frag's stream. I don't know. I'll have to look it up now because he didn't give me a link, but it should be easy to find.
Yeah, I bet you there's not a lot of Lethal Frags. I actually ordered some streaming equipment.
You did?
Yeah. So right now it's for streaming like console stuff. But, okay. But you can use it for streaming live video as well. You just obviously you feed your camcorder input through it. So I might try and do some stuff. I mentioned that last show that I was seriously considering doing some video stuff, but I figured I'd gear up first. So if the idea came, I could be ready to act on it. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, but
okay. I'm going to try. Pretend that I heard what you were saying right then.
I'm going to try.
I agree.
So, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. He dropped out for a good 30 seconds, but we're still rolling here.
We're good. All right. Yeah.
If anybody has a good Comcast connection in Utah, if you could hook up Jeff, get him going over there.
I don't think it's me, man. I'm blaming you right now.
Evan Bingham wrote in, gotta mention the highlights of the Free Play Florida broadcast, which I did not watch. So that's all you, Jeff.
I only caught chatter on it on Twitter, and I knew you were going to throw that to me, and yes. I refused to play your game.
Okay.
But I'm going to look up results real quick.
We're calling you out, Evan. You need to be our eyes on the scene for Free Play Florida. We both have small children who don't like watching video on Twitch all afternoon. You'll be our roving reporter in Florida.
Yeah, I wanted to see the results. Are those been posted? I'm on their website and I don't see.
Oh, see? We tried.
We did try. I will say that they had some sweet shirts, though.
Oh, really? Now that I'm interested in. Free Play. What is it? Free Play Florida?
It's just freeplayflorida.com and then go to their shop. And they have an image of Chun-Li holding a giant gun with Samus in the background.
Yeah, that's hot. And Lizzie from Rampage.
Lizzie's there doing work. She's punching a space invader.
I'm adding that to my wish list. All right. Well, thanks for the shirt idea, Jeff. Not so much, Evan.
That did nothing for the tournament. No, I don't see results on there, but it was an official Papa tournament, so I know that was covered and everything, but I did not have the opportunity to tune in, but I was just seeing tweets and stuff go out about it. Seems like it was competitive.
A thing that happened, yeah. James Stark, who I think stopped listening to us for a couple years, but he's back. Giving us things like guesses on the next Stern, and also new Star Wars trailer, also the Retron 5, because why not?
I want one.
I have one. It's pretty sweet.
I thought you sold it. Oh, that was your old one.
I had two of them. I accidentally ordered two, so I sold one of them.
That's right.
And I am selling my Retron Duo. Anyway, yeah, it's sweet. You should get one. The controller sucks.
So, oh, yeah, but can't you just plug in a regular Super Nintendo?
Yes, you can. Yeah. You can plug in old controllers.
Dang.
New Star Wars trailer. Did you watch it? I'm sure. Probably.
I did.
In GIF form, if nothing else, by now.
No, I watched the real deal. It was really fun because I thought it was going to be exclusive to the Apple trailers, the iTunes trailers. And mm-hmm. I got to work. I did go into work for a little bit Friday morning. And I said, I'm going to load up ye olde trailer site. And then it says, you need QuickTime. Like,
you need
QuickTime.
Yeah.
So I didn't have QuickTime on that computer. So I download it, install it. And then I go to play it and it says, you need QuickTime. I'm like, crap, I have QuickTime. So I restarted my computer, went to it, and it said, you need QuickTime. I'm like, starting to lose my patience a little bit. And waited about 10, 15 minutes, went back and clicked on it again. Then it opened. But it opened in like a small, low-resolution version. So I tried to increase the resolution, and then you could only hear it but not see it. Coming to find out there was an issue with the site, and... I said something on Twitter, and about 30 people said, you're an idiot, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, there's more than one site, Jeff.
On the official Star Wars channel. It's like, well, the announcement said that it was going to be exclusive to iTunes.
I'm refreshing AOL.com. It's not on my homepage.
Yeah, so I went, I found it, I watched it, and I whined about QuickTime.
QuickTime and the lightsaber are the two things that everybody's complained about. I thought it looked, it was a good teaser trailer, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, I don't really get the lightsaber.
No one gets crying. The lightsaber.
No, I don't get the crying. This
the
is hilt? Why.
Oh, yeah, I don't get the crying either. They have three more movies to come up with, at least. They need to come up with a bunch of new lightsabers. That's just the first one.
Well, I just thought the whole thing, the whole lightsaber itself looked kind of off and odd. Like, it wasn't smooth. It was all crackly and weird. Like, what if it's not, like, a normal lightsaber? Like,
yeah, he made it in his basement. His parents' basement.
It's just... We don't know enough. It was a teaser.
They're little hand warmers that come out right by your hand.
What if it was something more and it's busted? Who knows?
Yeah. The evil seeping out through a bad seal on the grip.
I don't know.
Whack. Anyway.
Whatever.
The rest of it looked cool. Yeah, and then all the racists are like, oh, black stormtroopers? There's literally at least 2 dozen stormtroopers, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Like, hundreds of thousands of stormtroopers. So, yeah.
I think the point of it is that he's not supposed to be dressed up as a stormtrooper. He looked terrified, so I'm guessing he stole the suit or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
I think he was on the
run. I hope he's, like, a good guy stormtrooper.
Yeah, could be.
With the white voice, like in the originals.
Yeah.
No? So, whoever the actor is, he does look pretty panicked.
Yeah.
I appreciate his acting ability.
He's all, he's concerned.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All right. Guesses on the next turn. I'm not going to guess, but you're welcome to.
Man, I don't know, but I haven't heard any solid rumor that sounds good to me. Like, The Walking Dead at least sounded good. I don't know. Like, Ghostbusters.
Okay. You heard it here first for the 5 millionth time. Ghostbusters.
It's going to be Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. All right. Gene X wrote in, and this is actually going to be kind of interesting here. He wrote asking for good pin golf goals for machines in general, trying to compile ideas. He sent us an email saying he didn't always like going for the high score stuff, you know, get 200 million on Twilight Zone or whatever, but rather game specific goals. And now this one just says machines in general. So, and if you're not familiar with pin golf, basically, I guess in its most basic form, they'll put a score up like 200 million on Twilight Zone, and you try and get that in as few balls as possible. So if you hit 200 million in one ball, you score a one and move on to your next game. If it takes you 6 balls and you still haven't gotten there, then they mark it a 7 and you move on.
Yeah. Then you'd look around to make sure nobody besides the scorer was watching. And
and say it was a three.
Yeah.
No, pin golf's a lot of fun. Real easy scoring there because you're going for the lowest score possible. But let's see. So good ideas for goals on machines in general. Anything from starting a multi-ball is pretty obvious. Lighting special could take a while on most modern games.
Yeah, it could. Some of that's random. I like the ones that track your combos, like Spider-Man, you know, how many combos you get.
Yeah, hit, you know, 15 combos or something.
Yeah.
I had mentioned on X-Men getting the special combos in that, like Beauty and the Beast or Teacher's Pet or whatever. Oh, jeez. Sorry.
Funky.
My phone is muted, but my alarm wants me to check out a DVD on Amazon last night.
Maybe you should.
Anyway, I should have, yeah. So what we'd like you to do is we'll probably go over a couple, but if you have good pin golf goals for machines that aren't score-based, email us pinballpodcast@gmail.com, and you will be entered to win a t-shirt from lifeunderglass.net.
Yeah, 500 pop bumper hits.
That would take at least three balls, six balls.
Someone's standing there and like, I think he got like nine that time in.
Isn't it Attack from Mars, like the first go around, you have to get 75 hits?
For Super Pops?
Yeah. That often takes me a game or two. Or
It depends.
That would be hard to track.
Yeah, that would be funny, though. Someone just sitting there like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, crap. I'm going to say that was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. The other thing that I think is kind of cool with pin golf that I've seen is, rather than a target score, is where they give a score and you try and score the closest to it with your ball draining. So... they're not really, really high scores. It's just like, you know, 2 million points, and the closest to it gets a one, then the next closest gets a two, next closest gets a cool. three. So you have to, like, kind of figure out how close you're going to get with your current bonus or whatever, wherever that is. That's an interesting way of playing.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's even something like 10 million, your skill shot is 5 million. Or 2 million could really change your strategy for the rest of your ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's quick because it could be a one ball situation for everybody.
Yeah, or it could take all three balls. I mean, it just depends how you play it. Like,
yeah, if it's higher.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, but you just got to try and. Once the ball drains and you decide that's the score you're taking, however close you are to it, then it's just the difference. So, yeah. But yeah, I'd like to hear some other ideas.
That's a good one. So email us pinballpodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you to lifeunderglass.net for donating a t-shirt. It's an extra large t-shirt, and they support the Dave Thomas Foundation. So $2 from every purchase goes straight to that charity. Oh, or Project Pinball. They support both. So, and if you like them on Facebook and then buy through the link on Facebook, you get a 10% discount.
Nice.
And Measle Mods is selling their shirts too. So there you go. Anyway, so Gene, incoming. I'll be forwarding a bunch of emails to you. Or probably like three. Good?
I think so.
We had two people wrote in, Rod McLarge and Mike Hawkinson both wrote in asking about the new Hobbit developments that dropped the day after our show went live. Or no, like an hour after our show went live. Our last episode.
Yeah, I got an email about Hobbit too. So...
What, you ordered one or what?
No, I got an email from a listener / buddy asking, he's got a Hobbit on pre-order, and basically asking what my thoughts were on the game, whether I should keep that or look at something else, or essentially. So,
what's the word?
What are the developments they're referring to? It all runs together. I can't remember what I read before or after the last show.
The playfield art is totally different now.
Right, with the different versions.
Giant Smaug. There's a, you know, in a giant pile of gold. I think it looks a lot more colorful. They took out the targets where the bag end is, basically where that book was at Expo. They took out that whole target bank. So now the ball can exit the pop bumpers there.
Yeah.
back to the playfield. That's pretty significant. They moved the book to the back corner, and they put a pretty, it looks like a pretty big LCD screen. It looks about the size of an iPhone, you know, maybe 3x5 inch or something. So it has a monitor with pages that turn and animated and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because they moved it, they had to change the sculpt on the pop bumper tops, which were like the little dwarves in the barrels. They changed the sculpt of Smaug's head, and they added, flasher dome in the gold there. They added a couple flasher domes around the game, but that was one of them. They put, another plastic on the side that kind of looks like the inside of Misty Mountain, or I don't know what the mountain's called. Mount Doom? Mount Rushmore? I don't know. Some other plastic rock thing, and they replaced the big... They had metal upkickers, like scoops that shot it to the rails.
Right. And
they replaced those with wire rails, which I think looks a lot nicer, a lot easier to see around.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also... what was I saying? Oh, they did laser etching on the ramps. So the ramps, it says like lock is lit or bonus time or something on it.
Pizza time.
Pizza time? Having a hard time reading it on here. Here we go. Book time and lock mode is what they say now. And there's light coming up from underneath the ramps so that you can read it. I don't remember there being decals on the Expo version on the actual ramps.
I don't remember that either. I mean, I could be missing something, but I don't remember that.
Yeah. And they added a plastic, like, pillar in the back, on the back box kind of thing. What's it called? Backboard. Anyway, they basically just fleshed it out a lot. So it does look, I think it looks a lot different than it did at Expo. Obviously, the playfield art is very different. But
they put some makeup on it, essentially.
Yes. So, anyway. Yeah, I think it looks strong. I don't know. I didn't see the original in person, but it definitely looks a lot more colorful and interesting than the original playfield art, which was kind of sparse.
Yeah, I think so. Smog definitely looks just a million times better. The old one, he was goldish, right? Gold colored?
No, the old one, he was red. I didn't notice that big a difference with the two Smaug heads.
I thought the old one was red, the new one's more red. I mean, the old one was gold, the new one was red.
No, the new one, they're showing the gold version, which has, like, gold dust all over him.
That's right. The gold version, he's still gold. Yeah,
the regular version, he's red. But I don't know. The sculpt looks really good, but I don't remember the old one looking bad, so...
Oh, I went to Pinball News to look, so...
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
In the previous update, it shows his head is completely gold.
Where?
Hang on.
The first picture of him?
Yeah.
A reworked version. It says it's a reworked version. Here he is, clad in gold. And that's even, like, all gold. But Matt Reister posted a picture on Facebook that's red, but it's, like, dusted gold. It looks, yeah. I think, better than this. This is just, like, straight-up gold. Like, they dipped it in gold paint.
Yeah, that one doesn't... I don't like the look of that one. I like the red one that's got the gold highlights. Yes. That one looks great.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
We're saying the same thing.
Just both poorly.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, it looks great. It's supposed to ship next month, which starts tomorrow.
I know. So everybody should have their game by middle of the month. Before Christmas.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. I do know somebody who's got one on order, so I'll start nagging them more.
Oh, I thought you were going to say who's already got one. I was like, wait, what?
No. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took well over a year to get the Wizard of Oz out. I don't know. This one, I would assume, will be a lot faster.
I think they've probably learned a few things.
Definitely.
And you hope that with that learning application... comes in, like applying fixes to the problems that were discovered and they ironed them out. But sure. They're also shipping out the Ruby edition of Wizard of Oz still, right?
Yes, that is happening now.
So, because I'd seen some stuff posted that people were just getting those still, so.
Yeah. Well, and remember that Medieval was supposed to ship in June of this year.
Six months ago.
So,
I mean, I...
for the course.
I didn't want to be negative. Like, I didn't want to say nay, but there's a reason I pulled my money on that, because I was like, all right, I really think it's going to take longer, and it has. It's not like saying anyone's foolish for leaving that in there, because they're going to be the first to get them when they, you know, can, but I don't know. I think both of us have kind of learned a few lessons in pinball when it comes to pre-ordering.
Yes,
but essentially, you're floating alone for a lot longer than you think you are going to be able to.
Yes. All right. That horse has been beat many times. Anyway, looks awesome. Good job, Jersey Jack. Oh, the plastics, by the way, look awesome, too. So I'll link to the pinball news site, because you can click on the pictures and get big, giant, nice pictures of that stuff there.
Yeah.
Good? Great. All right. Jake Danzig wrote in, he's looking for a mint back glass for Phantom of the Opera. So contact us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, if you have a mint one for sale, and we will hook you up with Jake Danzig. He was jokingly asking, but he's...
Yeah, well, this will help him out. I know where there's one not for sale that's mint.
Well, that's a huge help then.
The only reason it's not for sale is it's part of a machine, but they exist. They just happen to be in machines, I think.
Yeah. No, I think he's looking for NOS kind of stuff.
Nos?
Or maybe like a bar fire type of situation, but somehow the back glass is untouched.
It's miraculous. And it also has a smoke pattern of the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
You don't see it when the lights are on, but when you turn it off, there it is.
It's soaked in nicotine.
So. No, that's a hard game to find anything for. So sympathies for anybody who needs something that integral.
Yeah, good luck. We got an interesting email from Petey Hendricks. He says he was watching Maverick on the Ion channel, because of course he was.
Yeah, it's an entertaining show.
He was watching the movie, I think.
Yeah, I was saying it's entertaining.
Entertaining footage. He says they cut out the Amazing Grace scene, which I don't remember that, but the scene of him getting locked in his room, I do recall. Why do TV stations cut out important plot points, and is there any movie pinball comparisons? So you and I talked about this a little bit before the show. Basically, pins that are missing huge plot points, which Keith Johnson kind of alluded that The Hobbit would be shipping without major plot information and would be receiving it as part of a code update later because of the way the license works as far as spoilers with the last film, as an example.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So in the future, I'd like to do a contest, but that is a great question. Thank you, Petey. We will get to that someday, but I'm going to need more time to think about it.
I'm sure, especially in games that are based on R-rated films,
yes,
that they've been cut out. As far as story progression goes, I think that narrows the pool a lot, because a lot of times the stories weren't really that exist. They didn't exist so heavily in pins as they do now. Like, they were just, let's have this scene for the movie represented, then this scene, and then this scene. But they didn't have a real attempt to tie them together into a coherent, progressive plot. But, that's going to be kind of fun to think about. I'm sure there's some good examples of that. As for why they do it on TV, they say it's for time. So if they're trimming for time, they probably just try and decide what can we trim that will cause the least amount of plot holes possible. So they might pull out a fun scene that doesn't necessarily add to the narrative, or they could just be lazy and chop anything and just not care. So who knows? Yeah.
The locked in the room part is pretty significant in that one.
But yeah,
I guess he makes it to the Lauren Bell anyway. So, or to the table, I should say, anyway.
Yeah. So I've only seen that movie in its full, unedited glory.
So if you've only seen Batman Dark Knight on TV, and then you go play the game, you're probably like, oh, obviously they cut out the big section with the giant crane because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But here it is. It's got to be in there because it's plain as day.
And you're probably thinking, man, it would have been sweet to see Batman swinging around a crane and fighting enemies on
it. Sure. Yeah. Throwing balls at other balls. Yeah.
Yeah. Batarangs, probably. Man, that would have been cool.
You've seen the Lego movie, right?
Yes, I have.
Please? In other words, the best Batman movie?
The best Batman movie. He's pretty cool in that.
When he throws the 95 batarangs at the button and misses every time, that's one of the best parts.
And Neil's first try or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. If you haven't seen the Lego movie, go watch it. That's what we're trying to say.
It's a more humanized Batman.
Mm-hmm. Darkness and dead parents and whatnot. Taylor Reese wrote in, better 10 years for pinball, 1990 through 1999, or 2005 through 2015. So he sent that to me in a private message, so I replied right away and then asked if it was for the podcast. But I think the 90s were better overall, but potentially 2015 to 2024 could be even better because there's a lot of stuff on the horizon still.
There is. I mean, it's tough because I'd say 2000 to 2015, that encompasses all of the best games from Stern.
Like Buck Hunter, Avatar, Rolling Stones,
yeah.
NBA, CSI, 24.
Striker Extreme.
No, that's older than 2005.
It is? Oh, wait, 2005. Sorry, I went to 2000.
Yeah. I did too, initially.
Oh, okay. So, it does not include Lord of the Rings then, does it?
No, that was 2004, wasn't it?
2004 or 3. Same with Simpsons, right? Well, yep. Except for it was re-ran within the 2005 time period.
So there's one gleaming light in there somewhere. There's been some good pins the last couple of years, but...
Yeah,
a lot of the best pins we've seen haven't actually been released. Yeah, Tron, AC/DC. I mean, we could name less than 10 great pins from that era that have actually shipped. Meanwhile, 1990 and 99, there was, pinball was still rocking. You're getting 3 or 4 games from 3 or 4 companies every year.
Yeah, I agree. I would take the 90s. As far as, volume goes, but... I could see a collector making a case for the more recent stuff just because they may prefer that in a small collection. But definitely sheer volume of high quality releases. The 90s were kind of where it was at.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you have a different idea, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is a cool question. Good idea. And good years there. Because my brain initially went to 2000 as well. Like basically New Stern versus Bally Williams in the 90s. And there's no contest there. But Stern in the next 10 years could be, who knows, something special.
And Jersey Jack might be more consistently putting out stuff. I mean, let's see.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. All right, do you want to take a break? You want to keep rolling? Tempt fate.
I feel fresh and ready to go, unless you need a break. I know we're getting old, but maybe not that old.
I don't need a break. I just worry about our barrage of technical issues throughout the years.
No. We obviously have that under control. I mean,
okay.
There's only 20 minutes of issues to start the show, but I think we're okay.
Good. Yeah, we got our wood knocking down. All right, let's get into news. We already talked about some of the new stuff, but I wanted to talk about Rollers of the Realm, which is a pretty innovative new virtual game. Eric Mongi had asked about it, and I kind of forgot about it until it came out. I'd seen screenshots a while back, and it looked kind of like I didn't know what was going on. But it came out to PS4, the Vita, and PC about 2 weeks ago. And you have not played it, right?
Not yet.
But there's a good reason, because you hurt your wrist or something.
No. I will be playing it on Steam. The reason was I went to go get it, and I've got some friends who already had, and they said there was an issue where their progress wasn't saving, and apparently developers were aware of it, and a patch was already being prepared. So I was just waiting for that. But no, I'm super excited about it. I think it's cool. Like, it's funny. It got released and about 20 people sent me emails or Twitter messages that aren't necessarily listeners of the show or anything. They just know, hey, pinball's my jam. And they were letting me know. And I was aware of it and was looking forward to it. But it's been received really highly, like in the mainstream gaming press. So I'm excited to give it a real good go.
Yeah, it was it's distributed by Atlas, which to me is sort of a no-brainer. Like, I like a lot of the weird stuff they put out.
Mm-hmm.
But the company that made it has a weird name. It's like Phantom Binoculars, I think, is the name of the developer.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with them before this. So.
Yeah, me either. Basically, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's like Pinball Quest, but it's not. If you played Pinball Quest lately, it's cool for what it is, but it's not that good of a game. I mean, NES pinball physics are just non-existent, basically. Yeah. Anyway, it's got great art. It's got a ton of voice acting, really good quality voice acting, not so much Pinball FX 2 voice quality. It's an RPG, so you start as a thief, and right away you get a healer and a knight to join you. And the thief ball is like a little copper ball, I would say. The healer is this glowing white orb, and the knight is a much larger ball that is, you know, made out of steel. And so they each kind of have different abilities. You can change them on the fly. You just cradle the ball, and then you can adjust between... Eventually, you'll have 15 different balls. They level up, and they also... You can equip different abilities to them, and then level those up. Like, you buy with experience, which is pretty cool. You can even buy extra, I guess, characters. Like, I just bought a farmer, I think.
Does that help you farm?
No, I think he has an axe. I have an archer too. And I'm trying to remember which is which. But on the playfield there are, you know, there's humans, I guess, running around, or enemies running around. They'll be attacking you, they're shooting arrows at your flippers, they're shooting bombs at it. They might have a flame and they're trying to burn down your keep at the top of the screen. So you gotta take out the guys with fire. Each screen is pretty diverse. It's sort of like playing Banzai Run, the backlash, but with normal physics, I guess. So imagine a platformer where the character keeps falling to the bottom and it gets flung back up with your flippers. It's sort of difficult to explain, because some screens might have 12 different flippers, but they all go different directions. But the regular pinball gravity of, you know, going towards the bottom drain is always there.
Okay.
If a ball drains, you bust out your healer. She has to build up experience for her special ability, but then you can cradle her and bring back any of your old balls to life. And that's everybody kinda cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Everybody has a different ability. Like, I think the knight has a shield, which is like a center drain stopper or something. I don't use the knight a whole lot. Some enemies can only be taken out by certain ball types. There are hidden keys and locked chests on most of the maps, or most of the playfields, and they aren't necessary for getting through the stage, and they're usually pretty hard to get to. You have to either, like, shoot the ball a different direction, or unflip when you should be flipping. I don't know. There's, like, they really put a lot of thought into everything a flipper can do, which most pinball games now, they flip the ball up towards the screen. This one goes all different directions and gets out of the way and all kinds of stuff.
That's really cool. It sounds like it's, like you said, the constant downward pull towards, you know, the bottom of the playfield's there, but they wanted to use side to side a lot more than other people have. So
there's environmental stuff like rivers. You might get the ball in the river and then it'll go upstream, and that gets you to another part of the playfield. They aren't really set up like a normal pinball playfield, like a big rectangle. They might just be a small area, and then if you enter a hole or whatever, it'll take you to another small area. So I've already seen, I'm only on like the third level, I guess, but there's maybe 8 stages in each level, and there's been dozens of different screens or playfield types so far. There's really a lot going on. Your dog gets stolen right away, and your dog, of course, is a ball. And when you free your dog, he's running around too, so that's basically your multi-ball. which is kind of cool. There's just so much thought. It, also, your flippers do take damage. Each flipper has a health bar on it. And eventually, the tip will crack off. Then it'll crack in the middle. And sooner or later, you'll just have a nub that can barely do anything. And meanwhile, your center drain is gigantic because you're basically missing a flipper down there. It's just really cool. There's just so much thought. It's really polished. There's kind of like bonus stages. There's like a little map, and you get to choose which direction you go. Kind of like that Find the Me. What is it called?
On Find the Me?
3DS. No, on the 3DS where you'd use your Street Pass. It's like the RPG that's on the 3DS. Rescue Me or...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, where you progress through the dungeons and get the little boss fights, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little map. You can choose different directions. Yeah, Find Me. So you don't have to go through the whole map to get to the next map, basically. But you can if you want to get more gold or experience or unlock stuff. I don't know. It's just really polished. I definitely recommend anybody that has a Vita, a PS4, or run Steam regularly to check it out. I think it was $8.99 on the Vita. It might be $10 on Steam. I'm not sure. But yeah, let's support. Anytime there's pinball games out, let's support them. And man, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna have to get that, especially hearing that they've already got patches and stuff. It sounds like they're committed to, supporting this going forward, so we'll have to see what other kind of content comes out for it.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be cool. They release maps and stuff down the road. So, anyway, pretty excited about that. It's not often that you get something so different in the virtual pinball world that actually works. There's a lot of people that use ideas, and they kind of fall flat, but this one does not. So, anyway.
Nice.
There's all that. Yeah. Oh, it's called Rollers of the Realm, by the way. I always hate it when you listen to video game podcasts and they talk about a game
and
for 20 minutes and they never say the title again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then you come to find out it's like some cell phone game that you probably wouldn't have ever cared about. It sounded really cool until you...
Either that or like it's Battlefield 4.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, and I forgot, sorry if you mentioned, but... The biggest issue I have with a lot of the digital pinball games that are a little bit lower quality is that it doesn't feel like the ball is actually rolling across a surface. It feels like it's floating maybe half an inch above. How does this one feel in that regard?
Mm-hmm. It feels good. It felt kind of like Odama to me.
Oh, okay. I know.
Because the different balls are different weights.
Yeah.
Each character is a different size and a different weight and has a different special ability. So they're not all going to feel the same. But they don't feel like they're floating. One thing they don't have is a rolling animation. It's just a still image of the ball.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, a lot of... Yeah.
Yeah.
It is on the Vita anyway. Rolls, but...
Yeah.
Maybe it has more graphical upgrades on the PC version.
Yeah, but... it's possible. I haven't tried any of the other versions, but I'd like to know. That's the only one thing I noticed.
But all right.
It didn't bother me. So.
I'll check it out on PC.
Yeah. And actually, I think the Knight... has a rolling animation. Like he's cobbled together with different pieces of metal. So maybe they do have a rolling animation. It's just so slight with the shiny ball. It doesn't have a reflective quality.
Cool.
Cause like the copper ball is all the same color.
It's a uniform copper.
Right.
If it was a smooth enough ball, Don, you wouldn't notice it rolling.
There you go.
So it's just smooth.
There's no lights on the play field bouncing off of it.
Yeah, that's the other thing is it doesn't look like there's any bulbs anywhere, does it?
No. It okay. Looks like an RPG level.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny if there were just bulbs randomly. Like.
The only thing that kind of sticks out is the health bars on the flippers are like these bright green and, they're bright green bars that turn red as you lose health. Uh-huh. It kind of sticks out from the sort of fantasy art style. The browns and greens of the woodland and whatnot. But anyway.
Cool.
Yeah, so check it out. Rollers of the Realm.
And
while we're on a similar subject, the Pinball Arcade. Pinball FX 2 is the Humble Bundle this week.
Yes. I can't recommend that purchase enough for just pay what you want.
Yeah, it's pay what you want. If you pay $6 or more, you get 17 tables. You get all the Star Wars tables, a bunch of Marvel tables. I'm trying to remember what all was in there. But for $6, that's a super good deal. You're usually $3 each. And it should be, I'm guessing if we get this show up this week, it'll still be active when you hear this. So I posted on Facebook, but if you haven't seen it.
They usually have a countdown. Let me check real quick. Sorry for the typing sound. But I'm going to see how much time is left on it.
Yeah. It's only for the Steam version. But I went ahead and bought them all and downloaded them to my virtual pin.
So as of right now, there's 3 days and 14 hours left. Okay.
So maybe I'll post again. You may or may not hear this. But keep an eye out on them. Because even when I looked in Steam, it said that Walking Dead was on sale at Halloween, but they didn't post it on Facebook or anything, so there's no other way for me to know. I don't know if there's a way to follow the Steam community threads with, you know, get email updates.
Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't find a link anywhere on the page, because I'm not going to, like, visit each game every day or whatever.
Yeah, so it's a $47 value bundle.
Yeah,
pay what you
for
want.
$6.
And then you also get soundtracks if that's something you're into.
Yeah, I wonder how I get those. I'll have to look at my link again.
Yeah, go check your link.
My emails.
And for those that don't know how Humble Bundle works, you literally pay what you want. You could pay one penny, but if you pay more than the average, you are usually given some extra stuff. So it. As of right now, it's $6. Is if you pay more than $6, you unlock the Deadpool, Marvel Pinball Vengeance and Virtue pack, which is like, isn't that Moon Knight, Thor,
yeah, I think
Cyclops,
X-Men,
and then
yeah,
then there's one of the then there's the Star Wars Heroes Within. If you just pay a penny or less than $6, you get the Star Wars Balance of the Force pack, Excalibur, Mars, Doctor Strange, Captain America, and the Civil War. So. It's awesome.
Yeah, great set there. Mars sucks, but the rest of them, solid games.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you also get to decide how you want to split up what you pay. So you could split it three ways. Say you pay $6 and you split it evenly. $2 would go to the website, $2 to charity, $2 to the developer. But you can adjust sliders and give it all to the developer, all to charity, whatever you want. So.
Huh. I think I just did the $10 option. I guess it automatically does whatever.
It does a default split if you don't change anything. And I think it's like 50% goes to the developer and then 50-50 for charity and the site or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but I usually tweak them a little bit.
Yeah, they go towards charity. That's the whole thing with the Humble bundles. I don't know where it goes. Aryan Youth, maybe? I don't know.
that's probably not.
Yeah. All right. Arcade Expo is coming up January 6th. It's Child's Play. Child's Play gives video games to sick kids in hospitals. So.
Maybe it's Child's Play. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were.
Yeah, it's American Red Cross and Child's Play. So.
Very good. Okay. Are we good?
Yeah.
Are we good, Jeff? Josh. Yeah. Josh, what's the deal?
Yeah, he hasn't said anything again.
I know. What a jerk. Arcade Expo is coming up January 16th through 18th, Banning, California. 550 pinball machines, 200 video games on free play, seminars and nightly movies. They have refreshments. And you can check out arcadeexpo.com for more information, including a gigantic list of their collection. So the games are not brought by people. They're always there. So come check it out and see what games you can look forward to playing. They have a huge variety. I think the newest game they had was maybe Metallica or AC/DC, but they've got stuff like Big Bang Bar, and they have a ton of EMs, a lot of games you don't see necessarily elsewhere. But anyway, check it out, arcadeexpo.com.
Cool.
Good. So Jeff, we got a couple keep flip part outs because we got a couple. I did not make one.
Yeah, I decided to also go with these ones.
No one
better
has
than what I would have come up with.
If you prefer that we come up with our own, by all means, but we always appreciate the listeners sending theirs in, which is fun. So we got one from Steve Ridge. He posted 3 space themes, 3 wide bodies, 3 manufacturers. They're Flight 2000, Space Invaders, and Stellar Wars.
Yeah. I've admitted having a bit of a soft spot for Space Invaders, probably because of the look. I don't know. I think it's decent. But I think I would keep the Flight 2000. There's an incredible challenge there getting to that multi-ball, and I don't know. I think it's something that I enjoy trying to do. So I'd keep the Flight 2000, probably part out the Space Invaders because they are usually blown, and everyone always wants that back glass. And then the Stellar Wars I would flip.
Okay. I'm almost the opposite. All 3 games are kind of cool. I like space themes. I don't like wide bodies very much. I would actually keep the Stellar Wars. I think the TNT Amusements video on that game kind of sold me on it. Mm-hmm. I like the pulsing lights and stuff. He really made it look like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really spacey.
Yes. For a title you might normally walk by in a roll of pins, he made it stand out. I'd flip the Flight 2000 to keep another old Stern alive, and I would part out the Space Invaders because the best parts of that would look good hanging on the wall.
Yeah, that's the back glass that... Those Infinity back glasses look really cool in, like, a box.
Yeah. And it seems like a weird kind of rip-off cash-in kind of game. I'm not a huge fan of that kind of thing.
That's a super wide game.
Yes. He says he would keep the Stellar Wars because of fond memories, stealing quarters out of my mom's purse to play this one as a team. Not that we are okay with that, children. He'd flip the Flight 2000 because people like games that talk and the fonts aren't spacey enough. And he'd part Space Invaders to myself because of this fictitious Space Invaders has a perfect playfield that would go directly into his own Space Invaders.
Yeah, I say most of those playfields are
roached.
Yeah, they've got bare wood all over them.
We actually have one on location here, and it is almost all bare wood.
You should get in there with a Sharpie and just draw
stuff
on it. Yeah.
Paint the whole thing silver and draw it in. Yeah. Donald F. Wrote in the Holy Bally Trio of Paragon, Centaur, and Fathom. He said he can't remember if we've already done these. I think we've done those games a lot, but I don't know if we've done them all together.
Yeah, probably not. I think I'd have to keep the Fathom. I think it's one of the prettiest games out there, even though I probably enjoy playing Centaur a little bit more. But yeah, I think I'd keep the Fathom. I would flip the Centaur and part the Paragon, because again, those do get pretty beat up, and someone's going to want that back glass for art purposes, being me, which I'd keep, and sell the rest of the parts.
I'd keep the Fathom, I would flip the Centaur, and part the Paragon as well.
Wow. I saw Gene and Bowen talking about Paragon on Twitter. Bowen's stance is that you can play it until you love it, and eventually that happens. Gene hasn't had that happen to him yet, and it made me think that's probably true of most pinball machines. You can find a goal that you find fun. You can find a shot that you find fun. In fact, for me, yeah. Tron, the first thing that hooked me on Tron was trying to get Korra multiball started. I thought that was a lot of fun to do. But my response to that is that's probably true of a lot of games, but definitely not of South Park. So.
You never know. I don't know.
No, I know. Like, I think the more you try to enjoy it, the more bored you'd get.
Yeah, so. Pinball's pinball. I don't know. His next layup here is Rapid Fire Cabinet Trio.
Mm-hmm.
Centaur 2, Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man, 8-Ball Deluxe, LE.
Okay, I'd keep the 8-Ball Deluxe. The LE's uglier than I'll get out, but I'd still keep it. Maybe Mr. and Mrs. Right. I'd flip the Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man because I'd want to have it around for a little while. It'd look nice next to my Miss Pac-Man. And I would part out that Centaur 2.
I actually like all 3 of these games, but I would keep the Centaur 2 I would, because I didn't keep it last example.
Oh, you had one?
No, in our last example.
Okay.
Oh, no, I flipped it in the last one, right?
Yes. Yeah, I flipped it.
Anyway, I keep it this time. Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man, I would part out. And 8-Ball Deluxe, I'd flip, because I think more people like 8-Ball Deluxe.
I think it's fun.
All three are good, but I mean, more people are looking for 8-Ball Deluxe.
Yeah, you'd probably get your best price out of that, unless the Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man was super nice, because they usually never are.
That's true. That blue did not hold up it looked better years ago, because I've never seen one where I'm like, oh, that blue's attractive.
Well, it's the same thing with the cabinets. Like, the Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man cabinets faded out really bad.
Yeah.
I have a very nice Ms. Pac-Man, but most of them are really faded.
Weird. Oh, well. They were making so many games then.
Yeah.
Sorry, I fell asleep for a minute there. And Taylor Reese, finally, he wrote, sell, trade, throw in the garbage. And Circus Voltaire, World Cup Soccer 94, Theater Magic.
All right. Well, you know
can't
how
keep any of them.
I know how you're going on this. But for me, I would actually keep the World Cup Soccer. I would flip.
You're not keeping any of them. Sell, trade, throw in the garbage.
Oh, okay. So I would sell the Circus Voltaire for the cost. I would trade. Well, because I can't keep any, I would trade the Theater of Magic, because that's going to get me my best trade return. And I guess I'd throw World Cup Soccer away, which hurts me, because that's my favorite of the three games there. But if I have to get rid of all three, I'm going to maximize my return value.
Yeah, same boat. Throw out the World Cup, because there's a bunch of them. Circus and Theater kind of go for about the same amount anymore.
I think you'd get better trade returns out of Tom, though, just because I think more people want it.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people, you'll love it or hate it with Circus.
And people are prepared to pay for Circus. Like, the people that want it, they put down the cash for it, so.
Yeah, good call.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Taylor. All right, Featured Machine. This is a tribute to Joe Zinkus. We're going to do an EM again.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys? Or congratulations, guys. I think the EM guys stopped listening a long time
ago. Well, no, I'm apologizing to the EM guys, because we're going to butcher the reasons why.
Oh, for sure.
And then for the guys that don't like EM, well, you're going to learn something, kind of.
Maybe, possibly. Yeah, we're doing Sky Jump.
Gosh, I love this game, though. For reals.
Sky Jump, May 1974, Gottlieb, electromechanical game. Yeah. 4,200 units out there. There are kind of a bunch for an EM.
Yeah, yeah, they're out there. It's a pretty looking game, I think. I can't think of any other pinball machines that share the theme.
You mean like Free Fall or Gottlieb's Skydive?
Like, okay.
The Adderall version is the Free Fall.
Yeah.
And it was exported to Italy as Skydive.
But that barely counts.
Did you hear that?
I'm just... unless No Fear counts. Does No...
No Fear does count, yes. Ooh, okay. I was away from the mic.
So anyway, dedicated only to sky jumping and not being a different version of this game. It's a
pretty
unique
there are not
theme.
Very many. Correct.
It's an oddball layout, though, that's for sure. So Sky Jump is one that you see show up a lot in the tournament circuit. Like, in the EM finals, it's there all the dang time. The Papa guys love to use it. I've seen it at Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown, California Extreme, just this year in both of those. And I don't know exactly what it is that makes it a great tournament game. Other than it's one of those games that punishes you when you make the mistake. So I think it's a little bit less random than a lot of the EMs. So that's probably one of the things that really helps it. But it's also one of those games that there's many different areas where nudging is going to help. But it's also really dangerous to nudge just based on how light the tilts are on it. So it's a lot of fun to watch people play. It's a lot of fun to play. And... it's kind of one of those just faster EM games. It's pretty open except for the area behind the back, the drop bank target. So, have you ever had a chance to play one?
Yeah, I know for sure I played one at Rocky Mountain. Mm-hmm. It seems like I've seen it a lot, so I probably played it. I don't know if they have one in Vegas. I know for sure I remember playing it in Rocky Mountain, but
yeah,
it seems like I've played it several times.
I tried to buy one, and I had a deal made for one, and it was one of those things where the deal was made, I was getting ready to pay PayPal all the money and everything, and they just wanted to check, you know, the shipping, and then the last moment they decided, I don't want to have to wait around for someone to pick it up or whatever, and so that fell through. And a couple of other times have been close. One came up locally and I went to go get it, money in hand. I showed up and they said, oh, someone else showed up and took it. So I've tried to buy this game multiple times only to be frustrated by it. So it's still something I would take if I get a good chance at it, but it's a lot of fun. And you were kind of starting in the details, I'll let you finish those because I think that's nice to go over those. But there's a lot out there. And for some reason, I usually see them there in pretty good shape. And I think it's probably because just the way it's painted, it's an easy touch-up machine. It's not real complicated mechanically. So people generally kept them in good condition. But they're out there. I just have had bad luck trying to pick one up. And so when I saw that Joe got one, I was pretty jealous.
Well, maybe you can work out a sweet deal with him.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure something will step in and cause it to fail. But
Fate will have its hand.
Yeah.
It's a design by Ed Krinsky, who did a bajillion games, if I remember right. Yeah, he did. maybe 95 million games.
Some good ones.
Almost literally. He did a lot of good ones. I'm just looking at like big ones. Target Alpha, Surf Champ. Spin a Card is always popular. Star Trek, awesome.
Central Park.
Solar Ride. Did he do Central Park?
Yeah. He's credited. What, Big Brave.
What year was that? Yeah, Abracadabra, awesome game.
I like Aquarius.
Aquarius is alright.
Countdown, a lot of people kind of like that.
Yeah, Close Encounters. Yeah,
Diamond Jack.
Cool game.
Wow. El Dorado. That's
El Dorado,
a very
cool game.
Fun game.
He did both El Dorados, apparently. The good one and the bad one.
Well, it's hard to recreate the magic.
Apparently. Grand Slam. Anyway, he's done a bunch, so.
Yeah. Including High Hand that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, which apparently is ancient.
Yes. Ice Review. Jack's Open, which we've done as our featured machine earlier.
Yeah, awesome.
Jumping Jack.
Joker Poker. Man, this guy is like
every good EM. The Steve Kordek didn't do. He did.
Yeah. Sometimes they're pretty liberal with the attribution on IPDB. But
yeah, it's possible.
I mean, there's a lot of good ones mentioned here. So, yes. Surf Champ.
Totem.
Sure shot.
Okay. Anyway. Gordon Morrison did the art. Great art package. I especially like the back glass. The playfield is all right.
It's simple.
Yeah, it's simple. The colors are fine. But
it doesn't feel like sky jumping on the back glass.
No.
But I'm sorry, cruising over the
farmlands. On the playfield, it doesn't look like skydiving.
Right, right. But the back glass is great.
Back glass is great. Let's go a little bit over the scoring. Actually, I want to check out the flyer here. Total board play action creates outstanding profits. I don't know what other type of board there is besides a total board. 7 rollovers control score value of 7 drop targets. That is one of the coolest things. If you go over a rollover, there's 7 different rollovers, as it just said. But as you light it, you hit the target, you get 50 points. But if you get the center pop bumper, we'll move this little like 10 times bonus light. And so if you have a lit target and the 10 times bonus is in front of it, you're getting, 500 points? No, it's 50 points if it's not lit. It's 500 points if it is lit. And by 1,000 points if the multiplier is lit.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's a big part of what plays in the tournament play for this. So, there's strategy.
Yes, there's strategy. and definitely some skill in nailing those lit shots with the multiplier.
Yep.
Let's see. Making all rollover numbers increases value of drop targets to special, indicated by moving light. I don't know so much what that means.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I'm calling BS on this flyer. No, special when star is lit, so I guess you knock down all the targets, that's lit. One thing I do like is that you knock down the targets, they pop back up when you complete the bank.
Yeah.
It doesn't wait for a ball drain.
Yep.
Not terribly uncommon, but you never know. So the layout isn't, I don't know. I guess the rules aren't super deep or anything, but the extra strategy of having that multiplier could make for a huge game.
Yeah, or nothing yeah, definitely. Happened. Being able to set yourself up for it. No.
Right.
I think what they mean by the full table action is a lot of EMs had stuff on the sides that kind of angled in or took up a lot of the left and right side of the play fields. I think this
enormous
one...
Enormous plastics.
Yeah, that cut down on the field. And I think this one is... It runs pretty much rail to rail, left to right, so.
Yeah. It's got slingshots, too, which I guess that this era wasn't uncommon. But some games, they took out one slingshot or the other, especially on the asymmetrical games.
Yeah, and it has a in lane and out lane a lot of times.
Yeah. There's no in lane.
Yep.
Yeah. The cabinet art's okay. I don't know if you went over that. I didn't catch that.
No, it's fine.
What did you expect?
Yeah. At least it's not just like a couple of squares in a circle or something.
No. A guy farting and another one falling to his death.
Apparently, yes.
Yes. Both of them wearing Van Halen outfits. Yes.
There's an airplane on the head.
Oh, and there's an airplane on the head. So I looked on YouTube. I was hoping to find more gameplay about like going over the rules and stuff to help me remember. But there's not a whole lot of footage of it on YouTube. There is a 5-part series of a Skyjump restoration that I think the guy's name is Have Pin Will Travel, the guy that did it. So he goes over touching at the back glass and all kinds of stuff. Each video is about 15 minutes long. So I'll link to the first one, and you can kind of follow the rabbit hole from there. But that's kind of a cool little series. I don't know if he does it for more pins. I need to kind of check him out. But he does a nice job on Skyjump for sure. Very thorough, especially the touching at the back glass one, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I would love to have one of these in, you know, touched up, restored condition. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It is only single player, though. That's the one bummer.
Yeah, this is a single player, but that's okay. I don't know. Take turns. Learn to share, Jeff.
Well, how are my kids supposed to start a 4-player game and walk away from it if it's only single player? I got to think about them, their needs.
Yeah. Maximizing wasted energy in your home.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but with EM's problem areas, we usually discuss things. It's not really a thing with EMs like it is in a lot of the solid state games, where you have a toy or something that can be all that problematic. Some have their weird, funny things, but essentially, it's like if it doesn't work, it's probably you're gonna have to clean some switches. You're gonna have to, you know, adjust some stuff, but you're really just, when you're looking to buy something like this, it's going to come down to condition. That's what you're looking at and what you're trying to buy, and it's not so much as, oh, well, thing X can be problematic. It just doesn't exist in a game like this, so just keep an eye out on condition, and that's really what it is that's your biggest consideration on an EM. And if you're comfortable doing touch-up paint and stuff, man, you can get these things looking great. Obviously, a back glass is a different story. I would not know how to handle a flaking back glass at all. I'd just be looking for a replacement myself. So, back glass is, and just like making sure the wood's in good shape on the playfield, those are going to be your two biggest things to look out for.
I want to say that on the video, I think he triple-thicks it and then touches it up and then triple-thicks it again, if I remember right.
That sounds right. I just have no confidence in my ability to do that.
Yeah, I don't either. So I don't have any confidence in your ability to do that.
No, I shouldn't. I really was trying not to instill it in anybody, so.
Prices are, there's not a whole lot of price information on Pinball Price right now. It's got 9 records over the past 3 years. The average is about $500. The last one sold on eBay was almost $900 about a year ago.
Yeah, but it was in good shape. The last one I was going to buy was $600.
There you go. So that's somewhat, that's respectable for an EM with a large production number. So $500 to $600. Again, EMs vary so much in quality over the years, being 40 years old. Yeah, you just got to kind of haggle.
Yeah, it's true. And like I said, this is one of those ones that holds its value pretty well, so don't be surprised if you're trying to shave $50 to $100 off if it just doesn't sell out from under you. It's a desirable EM, and people are willing to pay for it, so.
Yeah. So there you go. Oh, you know what we didn't do? We didn't rate it, so we'll have to do that.
Is it in Pinside?
I don't know. I've kind of avoided Pinside for like a month.
Yeah, I've been, well, for some reason, it's not blocked at my work, but I can't access it from work. And a lot of my Pinside browsing I do like at lunch or something from work, and I can't. I don't know why. And it's not something that's like, oh, they're blocking any gaming-related sites, because it's like the only website that I go to that I can't access, and it's not saying it's blocked. So that's really hurt my Pinside activity quite a bit, which is a bummer. But by the time I get home, I'm generally drama'd out, so.
Yeah, I've just been busy. I haven't been online on the desktop that much. But yes, we can rate Sky Jump, by the way. So we need to do that. So stay tuned for whatever our ranking is.
They have got to be on pins and needles.
Will it display Shrek down at the bottom? I don't know. Probably not.
It's got a good rating.
Dead center is where it's going to end up.
It's
like every other game.
Yeah, everything hits.
We just moved from the center out.
We essentially rate between 6 and 8 everything
now. Every time, yes. All right, we'll see. Anyway, there you go. I'll link to the video tutorial.
Cool.
And if you have, we talked about this a little bit. If you have other EMs you want to see featured, let us know. We don't really have any EMs on the list, and we usually just kind of freeball it. So, there you go. Yes?
I think so. Okay, Sky Jump, it's a game.
Sky Jump, do it. The Pinball Arcade is actually out on the Xbox One.
Yeah, finally, huh?
Can you believe it? It took, 2.5 years? Or 3 years, maybe? No, I don't know. It took a lot of years.
Well, the
multiple
Xbox
years.
One is only a year old.
Well, to get it onto an Xbox system. It's still not on the 360.
That's been a long time.
But it is on the Xbox One. For $120, you can get all the tables, which is probably a deal. I don't know. Or it's what, like, that must be what, $40 a season? I don't know. I don't have one yet, so. I'm hoping you can buy them piecemeal, because I don't want to drop $40 on, you know, season 3.
I bought all mine on Android.
No, you don't want to buy them twice.
It'd be cool if there was some sort of cross-platform support or discount, at least. So I have a hard time buying them again, but I'm glad that they exist.
Yeah, I've heard that graphically it looks way better on the Xbox One, whereas Pinball FX isn't that huge difference from system to system.
Yeah. It looks good on PlayStation 4. So.
There you go. Anyway, it's out there. If you have more information, let us know. For someone who owns an Xbox One, for example, Jeff, if you're able to get that information. Venom is coming to Pinball FX 2, by the way.
It is, yes.
Yes, in December, so the month that you're hearing this, which will be cool. It looks like they have a ton of stuff going on. Oh my gosh.
Ramps.
The table is packed. So that will be a day one purchase for me, for sure. on some system, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, it looks good. It looks like it's just going to be craziness.
Can't go wrong. And they've been really reliable lately. So it seems like every month, pretty much, there's been a table or two out, which is nice.
Yeah, they've been really active. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm not going to say where I heard it, but the Zacharia app is not dead. There are other tables coming. We thought it might be because they said complete collection on the iOS app picture avatar thumbnail.
That complete collection is going to get a bit more complete, apparently. Yes, huh?
Completer collection.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Cool.
And our contest last month, we talked about basically your holiday wish list. So, different gifts. And we went over quite a few gifts. We're working on putting together a blog post, like a little shopping guide. But we asked you, the listener, what, you know, what junk you want. What stuff is good that we didn't mention? And honestly, we didn't get a lot of replies because we did such a thorough job, is what I'm telling myself. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe nobody's in the holiday spirit. Maybe too soon.
Yeah. What's up with that? All right. So anyway, thank you for the people who did enter. I put a couple up here. We'll go over real quick, but they will also end up in this holiday shopping post at some point. But from Taylor Reese, he wrote in gifts I'd want if I didn't already have them. Number one, beer fridge. I know you said this on the podcast, but for once I agree with you and feel it is worth noting.
There's a first and last time for everything.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Taylor. Number two, Beats Bluetooth speaker. Have one in my shop and use it in my game room as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about a lot of similar things there. We both use one quite a bit. I haven't used any Beats product, but basically a little player is all you need.
Yeah, portable speaker is a good idea.
Portable speaker. Number three, third hand rivet tool. So simple, but so useful. May have to break into a pinhead's house to get one, but worth the 5 years for breaking and entering.
Yeah.
Third hand rivet tool. I think it looks like a C clamp, right?
I guess so.
He posted a picture of it, and that's all it looked like. And I was like, I don't understand.
All I know is nobody likes dealing with rivets, so anything makes it easier, it's a good thing.
I feel that Taylor needs to make a video tutorial on using the third hand rivet tool. Yes.
I think
it
so.
Needs to happen. We'll link it and talk about it on the show if he does. Number four, game room art. Buy something pinball related, frame it, give it to a pinhead. We talked a lot about that. Number five, IKEA three-tier cart. Great for working on games, but do not let your wife take it. That is sage advice.
I have one of those little rolling wire ones. They're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep all your stuff together. And number six, continuity tester, which is very handy when chasing wires.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, good one. Thank you, Taylor, for submitting those. Great ideas. A couple of the others I wanted to mention were Brian Dye wrote in T-shirts, posters, hats, and a lot more from the Papa Web Store. There's a lot of cool shirts on there from past Papas that you can't get anywhere else. He says, P.S. I hope you find Josh. Thank
Josh.
You for that. Josh. Yeah, I don't know where that guy is. He also mentioned, he sent a separate email saying pinball magazine subscription, which I think you mentioned on the last show. There isn't actually a subscription. You just buy them issue by issue. And there's about one a year. So we got one like 6 months ago, so it'll probably be another few months before we get another. But he just released a little free 30-page one on pinballmagazine.com.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool.
I think it was Steve Ritchie interview?
Yeah, a Ritchie interview, yep.
Yeah. I haven't read it yet. Rod McLard wrote in, subscription to pinballninja.com, $20. This is
a great
one.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea. He only updates the repair blog between 3 to 5 times per month nowadays, which is, I think, plenty. Mm-hmm. But the content is still worth every penny. Between Clay's original guides and the 800-plus entries on Ninja, I can safely say that's where 75% of my pin repair knowledge originates. Written and video content direct from the world's foremost pin repair guru. So if you want to subscribe, I'm tongue twisting. I almost made it a whole show without doing it. You email Clay directly, cfh@provide.net. Yeah, it's a $20 donation, but you get a wealth of information in there. And yeah, he's the guy who held my hand in spirit as I read his guides when I got into the hobby too.
And during Titanic.
During Titanic, yes.
I learned how to fix pinball machines from his original guides. So when that Pinball Ninja site went up and he was taking donations for access, even if I didn't have any interest in the site itself, which I do and I think it's great, I still was happy to send him $20 almost as a thank you for basically training me as a pinball tech. So
yeah, it's got tons of great information, and whenever the customers, his customers don't feel weird about it, he takes videos. So there's actually quite a few videos on there.
Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff. The other thing he mentioned were the Pop Bumper LED rings from Comet Pinball. They're $6 to $7 each. They go in, we talked about them a while back because I put them in Roadshow. They go in a pinball Pop Bumper and they light the whole thing up. I had issues with them shorting out, but I think that design has been changed since. If anybody can confirm that, that'd be great. But they do look awesome once they're in there. They're just bright as hell. But he put them on his creature and on his diner.
Cool.
Yeah. Another one we got was from Lieb. Kindle Fire, $99, which I think they're even less right now. But get those for the kids. Or, you know, you mentioned having a tablet on hand. I guess the Fire would be just as good and
pretty cheap, too. It would definitely do the trick.
And JC wrote in and said that he wants some neon signs, which I know you can get those from MeezleMods.com, and I want one, too. It's hard to decide which one I want, though. There's a lot of cool designs. Anyway. Do you have a neon sign?
No, I have a neon clock, but I don't
have that ham clock you got. I forgot. Hams.
What's that?
The hams clock you got?
No, it's just one of those like old school 50s diner looking clocks where it's just got like time for fun in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. All right, so I put all the entries in a little diddly hopper and use random.org, and Lieb is the winner. They did not give their name, but part of their email address is Lieb. So I will be contacting them. They won a shirt of their choice between two options from, who was it? LifeUnderGlass.net. LifeUnderGlass.net. Thank you, David Paul, for the donation there. And thank you guys for the wish list. We will get our entry up before Christmas, hopefully, right? Okay.
It'll happen.
It can, and then we can rename it, like, just Pinhead Wish List for people's birthdays and stuff after the holidays.
Yeah. The always a good idea gift list.
Yes.
Something.
Pinball Gold. All right. So thank you, guys. Is there anything else you want to add, Josh? Why do I keep calling you Josh? Jeff, what's up with that?
I thought you were actually trying to talk to Josh there.
I was. That was
it
joke.
Sounds like you didn't have anything to add anyway, though, so it's okay.
Where is that coming from?
What?
The Josh thing. Sorry. 40 episodes, I'm getting dyslexic, dementic. Isbexic. Okay. No?
Spastic.
Nothing?
I don't know.
Bread thun?
Probably, I think.
All right. You can check us out on Stitcher. You can check us out twitter.com/pinballpodcast, facebook.com/pinballpodcast, instagram.com/pinballpodcast. Pinballpodcast@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of us. There's also Google Plus's Pinball Podcast and thepinballpodcast.com. And Jeff got pictures working. So we're actually posting pictures. There's pictures of our shirts, which are still for sale. $16 shipped in the U.S. You can check out the designs on the site. And I'm hopefully going to do a little Metallica run-through and another Wizard of Oz update soon.
Whoa.
Yes. Get some articles going, finally.
Does everyone have their Wizard of Oz?
I don't think so. I doubt it, but I don't know. I think all the Emerald Cities are out there.
Okay.
I mean, up until the Ruby Reds or whatever.
Yeah. That's. Yeah. I mean, the people who pre-ordered, did they
I think the pre-orders are done. Yes.
All right.
I have no idea.
I don't either. I for a little while I was kind of following those stories, but eventually I was like, I can't.
Yeah, it just starts to wear on you, crush your soul a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you are a soulless animal.
There's that.
Something else is being crushed. I don't know. Cool. Any funny YouTube videos to throw out to the people?
Nobody brought that up last time. Nobody checked out Walls Fall Out or...
I hope
Oh,
not.
Somebody did check out your Star Wars with no music thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No. Just Too Many Cooks. Everybody check out Too Many Cooks.
Oh, yeah. They could further appreciate our retro intro of that.
Yes.
Too Many Pins.
Too Many Pins. Too Many Cooks seems like old news at this point, doesn't it?
I think that was
a long time ago, and it was like 3 weeks ago.
It's like gone now, yeah.
Yes. We need to do one of the... We need to do a Harlem Shake video and bring that stuff back.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thanks, guys. I love you.
Bye.